ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
For the first time in over 50 years, astronauts will soon fly around the moon.
They're ready to fly.
But there are real concerns about their safety.
We're playing Russian roulette.
In our series, The Challenger Legacy, we trace the history of two space shuttle disasters. And we ask, what are the lessons for today?
I'm Karl Kuschelnitsky.
And I'm Fiona Pepper. Binge all the episodes now. Just search for The Challenger Legacy on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
What arguments and information should courts be hearing when they're sentencing an offender? Is a difficult childhood a relevant consideration? Hi, Damien Carrick here. This is The Law Report on ABC Radio National. Next month, on the 1st of April, a tool to assist defence lawyers and judges will go national. It's called the Bug Me Bar Book, and it's named after a groundbreaking High Court decision from 2013. Justice Dina Yahia of the Supreme Court of New South Wales joins me now. Justice Yahia, what is the Bug Me Bar Book and why is its national launch significant?
The Bug Me Bar Book is a resource that contains a number of chapters that pull together credible and learned research about the impact of various forms of disadvantage and trauma on an individual to better inform the decision-making by a judicial officer. It has other purposes, of course. It can assist in preparing letters of instruction to experts like psychologists and psychiatrists. And it assists lawyers in obtaining instructions from clients. So essentially, it's a resource that assists in the presentation of evidence before the court so as to better inform judicial decision making. And it's also a resource that educates judges, lawyers, policymakers, and the wider community about the impact of trauma, disadvantage, and deprivation on individuals.
So the Bug Me Bar Book is a tool aimed at assisting in reaching the appropriate sentence for any Australian offender. But we know that the incarceration statistics for Indigenous Australians are off the scale, they're off the charts. What are those stats? And would you say that the Bug Me Bar Book is of particular significance for Indigenous offenders?
So the Bug Me Bar Book is certainly applicable to all offenders. The 20 chapters and the three reports that have been published really apply, except for perhaps the chapter on the stolen generations, really apply to all offenders. But obviously, given the disproportionate rate of incarceration of Aboriginal people and the long-reaching impact of that disproportionate rate of incarceration, the chapters are of assistance when it comes to sentencing Aboriginal people who often have a complex web of trauma as a result of colonisation, dispossession, and various ways in which that trauma manifests and leads to offending. So, as you've mentioned, the disproportionate rate of Aboriginal incarceration is really a crisis. You would know, and your listeners would know, that Aboriginal or First Nations people make up 3.5% of the general population, yet in New South Wales make up about 36% of the prison population. The rate of women, Aboriginal women, in custody is also alarming. So First Nations women make up about 36% of all women in jail in New South Wales, and children make up somewhere between 50 and 60%. So you can see that those numbers are really quite confronting. And what has become even more confronting is that the figures from December 2025 reveal that 58% of Aboriginal women in custody are remand prisoners. So they're not even convicted prisoners. They are in custody, bail refused. So given that background, many of the chapters in the Bug Me Bar Book provide the sort of research and the sort of information that complements the evidence about the individual person before the court, so that when a judicial officer is formulating or structuring a sentence, they can be better informed about the impacts of that history of deprivation. And that then informs whether, for example, moral culpability is reduced, it informs the weight to be given the different purposes of sentencing. So you might have someone who has a very deprived background, exposed to domestic and family violence in childhood, exposed to drug taking in childhood, so that those sorts of things become normalised. And in some of these cases, that might inform the way in which the judge assesses moral culpability, so the moral blameworthiness of that individual. But there are also countervailing factors. So it might inform the weight to be given the protection of the community. So really it's a resource about better informing judges, or at least that's one of its purposes, about the impacts of such a background, and then the way that that then is used in the structure of the sentence.
We'll come back to the Bug Me Bar book a little later. Before you were a judge, you were a barrister, and back in 2013, you were the advocate for Indigenous man, Mr. William Bugmy, in the High Court of Australia. Who was he and what happened on the 8th of January 2011?
So William Bugmy is an Aboriginal man who was born and raised in Wilcannia. And at the time of the offending that brought him before the courts and led to the High Court decision in Bugmy, he was in custody at Broken Hill Jail. And it was there that he committed the offences for which he was sentenced and for which we went to the High Court. Just briefly, he hadn't had any visitors in months and he was in custody there in Broken Hill. And somebody had indicated that they could pay him a visit if visiting hours were extended. He approached a corrective service guards to see whether that could happen, and very quickly became involved in an argument and was very abusive towards the guards when he was told that the visiting hours could not be extended. He then hurled abuse at them and then picked up some pool balls and threw them at some of the corrective services officers at the jail. Tragically, one of those pool balls struck one of the corrective service officers in the face, seriously injuring him. He was blinded in one eye. So you can see it was a very serious offence.
So William Bugmy seriously injured and permanently disabled a prison guard, blinded him in an eye. And then he was charged with causing bodily harm and assault. He pleaded guilty. What sentence did he receive and what was the reasoning of the judge?
So he was sentenced in the district court to a total sentence of 6 years and 3 months with a non-parole period of 4 years and 3 months. So he was to serve at least 4 years and 3 months. And the judge at first instance took into account the seriousness of the offence, the objective gravity of the offence, but also took into account Mr. Bugmy's background. And he had a profoundly disadvantaged background. So those were the factors that were taken into account.
And I think he was exposed to family and domestic violence as a child, commenced substance and drug abuse at a very young age. He was semi-literate and he was also institutionalised and with a record of offending, particularly in regard to assault and resisting police matters. And the sentencing judge took that into account in reducing his moral culpability. But the Crown appealed this, asserting that what was given to him was a manifestly inadequate sentence. This was appealed by the prosecution. So his sentence was actually increased on appeal. But then you took the matter to the High Court. What did you argue in the High Court?
The appeal was brought about because, as you say, the Crown had appealed against what was asserted to be the inadequacy of sentence. So basically that the sentence he got at first instance was just unreasonably lenient. So they took that on appeal to the Court of Criminal Appeal, and the Court of Criminal Appeal upheld the appeal and increased his sentence to 7 years, 9 months with a non-parole period of 5 years, 3 months. And during the course of the judgment, and this was one of the grounds of appeal, the Court of Criminal Appeal essentially said that his background, or a background of deprivation and disadvantage such as that he had, the weight to be afforded to that diminishes with the passage of time, and particularly where the person has accumulated a criminal record. So that was one of the grounds. We said in the High Court, it's erroneous to say that with the passage of time, the weight to be afforded that background diminishes, because your background, and particularly a background of disadvantage and deprivation such as he had, is always present. It informs who you are and can inform your actions. So we said that that was erroneous, and the High Court upheld our appeal and the matter was remitted and he received the original penalty. But the case in the High Court became, it's actually quite interesting, its application was more far-reaching than I had ever imagined. So in almost every sentencing exercise now, and across the country, because it's a High Court decision, so it's binding across the country, Bug Me is referred to. And a sentencing judge does have to consider what is sometimes referred to as the Bug Me principles. And they are essentially, well, does a background like that in this particular case reduce moral culpability? It must be given full weight in every sentencing exercise. But there are also countervailing factors. So it might reduce moral culpability, but because of the seriousness of the offence or because of other factors, it may mean that the protection of the community is a significant factor and should be given more weight. And these are all of the things that a sentencing judge has to take into account, weighing one purpose with another. Often they point in different directions. And all of that is part of the instinctive synthesis in arriving at an appropriate sentence.
You're listening to The Law Report on ABC Radio National with me, Damien Carrick. Today I'm speaking with Justice Dina Yehia of the New South Wales Supreme Court about the upcoming national launch of the Bug Me Bar Book, which is being made possible by the financial support of National Legal Aid. So, Justice Yehia, it's over a decade since the High Court Bug Me decision, and now these Bug Me principles are raised in almost every sentencing around the country. Why was the Bug Me Bar Book created, and what form does it take?
Following the decision of the High Court, it became apparent, given our success, that a person's background of deprivation and disadvantage should be given full weight in every sentencing exercise. And what does that mean, and how do you, as a sentencing judge, apply that in the individual case? So, of course, there must be evidence about that particular person's subjective case, and that can come in many different forms. It can come through psychological and psychiatric reports. It can be as a result of the offender giving evidence themselves or their family members giving evidence about that background. So that's the specific evidence about that person's background and history of trauma and deprivation. The Bug Me Bar Book came about because it was considered that the evidence that is unique to that offender, that is the subjective material, is better understood if it is placed in the context of what it means, what is the impact of somebody being exposed to domestic violence, what is the impact of somebody being sexually assaulted when they're a child, what is the impact of somebody being exposed to drug taking and drug supply in their household when they're a child. So having the research around the impacts of those types of disadvantage and deprivation means that the judge can have a broader picture, a more holistic picture of how this impacts upon a person's moral blameworthiness. So the Bug Me Bar Book was really a result of, or came about as a result of the Bug Me case, but it was, the purpose was to provide a resource, as I say, that better informs these decisions. And that's at least one purpose, but as I've said, the resource has many other purposes, including education of the profession and the judiciary.
So it's this online book. There are about 20 chapters, like you say, and if you open up each of these chapters, there'll be sort of a summary of what the sort of the understanding is, and there'll be sort of the big sort of research papers. There'll also be the cases where the sorts of issues have been argued in the court. Can you tell me about some of the significant cases or decisions where the Bug Me principles have been applied? There's one decision which really strikes me that the listeners might find challenging, and it was applying the bug me principles to the sentencing of a well-planned murder of a high-profile underground figure. Tell me about that case, the Baines case.
Baines was a case that involved a planned killing. Mr. Baines was somebody who had, again, a very deprived and disadvantaged background with exposure to various forms of violence. There was evidence by way of a very comprehensive report about that background. Now, at first instance, what happened was that the sentencing judge, there were two grounds that are of relevance to our discussion. The sentencing judge concluded that that background did not reduce Mr. Baines's moral culpability. That was one ground. The second ground was that even though chapters of the Bug Me Bar book were tendered without objection, so the Crown did not object to them, the sentencing judge did not have regard to that material. So the matter went up on appeal, and the Court of Criminal Appeal upheld the ground that argued that the sentencing judge should have reduced moral culpability because of that background of disadvantage. And in respect of that, notwithstanding the fact that there was some planning in the offending conduct, if we go back to the principles enunciated in Bug Me, a person's background, where it is established to be one of profound deprivation and disadvantage, must always be taken into account. Now, it may not reduce moral culpability, it may be taken into account just as part of the general mix of subjective circumstances. But in Baines, the background was sufficiently compelling for the Court of Criminal Appeal to say, well, the judge had erred in not taking into account to reduce Mr. Baines's moral culpability.
And I think in that case, Mr. Baines initially sentenced to 36 years imprisonment with a non-parole period of 27. That was reduced down to imprisonment of 30 years with a non-parole period of 22 years and 6 months. So it's still extremely substantial
time
behind bars. But I must say, this doesn't sound like a scenario where somebody reacts impulsively given their history of trauma and are triggered by something. This is a planned, deliberate underworld murder. It strikes me as something somewhat different from the Bug Me scenario.
It is, but I think the facts are different, but the principle is the same. So in Baines, notwithstanding the fact that it was planned, really what you're getting at is that background, when you consider the exposure to violence in those formative years, has the impact, and this is, of course, not to excuse the violence at all, but it's to understand what those childhood experiences mean and how they impact on somebody's behaviour even into adulthood. So it could be normalising violence in a way that somebody who has not been exposed to such violence in their formative years would never react in such a violent way, or would not go along with an enterprise that was so violent. So it's not to excuse the conduct. I mean, as you pointed out, Mr. Baines received a very long sentence, and it's certainly not to excuse the conduct, but it is really to try to get a better understanding of the conduct once you understand the history of that particular person.
There was also the very interesting case of DPP and Welsh in the ACT Supreme Court. That was a sentencing for burglary and motor vehicle offences. And there was evidence, I think, of a successful engagement with formal rehabilitation programs. And that, the court found, justified a suspended sentence for very serious offences, right? Burglary and motor vehicle offences. Tell me about that one briefly.
In that case, there was what's called a Griffith remand, so that the offender had been placed on a remand in the community to continue in a rehabilitation program. And the engagement and the reports about the engagement of the offender were very positive. So that rehabilitation, there was evidence to show that the rehabilitation was successful. And in that case, the sentencing judge did use one of the reports in the Bugmy Bar book that I haven't mentioned yet, which is the report relating to the importance of culture to healing and well-being. So in Welsh, the offender is Indigenous and had spent time in residential rehabilitation, had spent a lot of time with therapists, and had completed the cultural healing courses at the institution at the rehabilitation centre. And when you look at the report that's in the Bugmy Bar book about the importance of culture to healing and well-being, a judicial officer, and indeed Justice Baker in this case, was able to structure a sentence having regard not just to the successful rehabilitation that had been undertaken, but also the importance of connecting, for this man, connecting with culture, because culture is a powerfully protective factor. And that's what the chapter or the report in the Bugmy Bar book was able to inform Her Honour about. So this is about using strengths or strength-based evidence, not just relying upon a deficit narrative to consider the various purposes of sentencing and to structure a sentence.
Well, coming back to a deficit narrative, there was a very interesting case, a 2022 case, where you were the sentencing judge, the 2022 Singolas case. And I think the Bugmy Bar book chapter on child sexual abuse was used. In that case, I think it was argued that the offender's PTSD triggered a response within him, which led to a stabbing.
Yeah, so in that case, the offender had experienced quite a traumatic childhood, including sexual and physical abuse in a boy's home. And I made a finding that there was a causal link established between that childhood abuse and the offending, because his post-traumatic stress disorder had been triggered by the perceived threat on the part of the victim in that case. But the response, his response was unreasonable, and it was excessive self-defence. And what informed that decision was obviously the material or the evidence in respect of his background, so that background that he'd experienced of sexual and physical abuse, but also the studies and the research in the Bugmy Bar book on the potential impact of childhood sexual abuse. And, you know, we know a lot more about that, don't we, now, given the Royal Commission into Institutional Sexual Abuse. And we can understand how those sorts of experiences, particularly in childhood, can have long-reaching and long-standing impacts that can be triggered. And understanding that, as I say, better informs than the assessment of the person's moral culpability. And I think in that case, it was one of the earlier cases, it was 2022. So I tried to set out why the material in the Bugmy Bar book is relevant and how it can be used.
It was a strange factual situation where I think he was driving his car down his street and he saw another person driving on his street in a car, and he decided that this person was trying to intimidate him, the victim was trying to intimidate him. So he basically chased him in his car, through the streets of Sydney. And then they both stopped and there was an altercation and he stabbed this man.
Yes. But the evidence established, and I don't think from my memory there was any dispute about this by the Crown, and the evidence established that there was a causal link between his PTSD, which was triggered by what he perceived as the threat.
It wasn't a scenario which was one that he'd experienced as a child. It was something quite different, but he responded in this way.
Well, that's right, because he had experienced as a child sexual and physical abuse. So he'd had that background, which led to the post-traumatic stress disorder, which was then triggered by this perceived threat.
I think you said in your judgment there was no reason to think that this man was actually threatening him. It was just in his head. It was the perception in the offender's head. It was not anything the victim had done.
Not at all.
This is really interesting, Justice Yehir. Returning to the national launch of the Bugmy Bar book, Are there currently differences within Australia in take-up of these principles in different parts of Australia? Why is the national launch important?
I think the national launch is important not because there are differences. I mean, there may be differences in legislative provisions from one jurisdiction to another. But on the whole, certainly in the area of sentencing, courts across Australia have to really weigh up similar considerations. They have to assess the objective seriousness of the offence. They have to assess the subjective circumstances of the offender, and they have to weigh up the various purposes of sentencing. So while there may be some slight differences in legislation in each jurisdiction, the sentencing considerations are pretty much the same. And of course, a case like Bugmy, because it is a High Court decision, binds judges in all jurisdictions. But the importance of the national launch is that it provides judicial officers, practitioners and others access to the Bugmy Bar Book resource. So it's a way of sharing that information and hopefully being providing a resource across the jurisdictions that assists all the players in the criminal justice system. And it's also an opportunity for other jurisdictions to suggest topics for chapters and to have input into the continuing development of the Bugmy Bar Book.
Mm. So it's been up and running since, I think, 2018. I think it started in New South Wales and it's, what, gradually been extended and gradually being taken up by lawyers and judges in other jurisdictions?
Yes, that's right. So it actually, this year is our 8th anniversary and it started in New South Wales. There are judgments that refer to the Bugmy Bar Book from the ACT Supreme Court, Victorian Supreme Court, Queensland, New South Wales. It's even being used in the New South Wales Civil and Administrative Tribunal, so NCAT, so getting away now from criminal proceedings, in proceedings relating to tenancy, for example, because there's a homelessness chapter and the impacts of homelessness are relevant to decisions that NCAT makes. So yes, it's been extended. There's uptake in other jurisdictions. I think that that's just going to increase. And also an uptake in areas other than criminal law.
Things like the welfare jurisdiction for children in the children's court, areas like that?
Yes, like that, and coronial inquests, as I've said, with tenancy proceedings. I think there's also one case that relates to a protection visa because one of the chapters in the Bugmy Bar Book is about refugees. So increasingly it's being taken up in other jurisdictions but also being applied in areas or being used in areas other than criminal law.
So although we've had this kind of gradual kind of expansion of the Bugmy Bar Book and its gradual take-up across the country, you still think that this moment on the 1st of April is very significant?
It is very significant because it means that there is acknowledgement that this is a resource that has value in all sorts of ways. There's an acknowledgement that across Australia, jurisdictions want to use the resource and are being provided with it. So it's sort of, it's a mark of the value of the resource.
Justice Dina Yehia of the Supreme Court of New South Wales, thank you. Thank you very much for speaking to The Law Report.
Thank you very much for having me.
That's The Law Report for this week. Do follow the program on ABC Listen. That way you'll get the latest podcast as soon as it becomes available. A big thanks to producer Christina Kukolia and also to audio producer this week, Ari Gross. I'm Damien Carrick. Talk to you next time with more law.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.